Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are going to be traveling to Australia via the wonders of technology to interview a wonderful woman who I had the good pleasure of coming to know through another guest, whose name was Asia Volt, who was featured not all that long ago. And this lady's name is Vanessa Talbot. She is the woman that's behind the phenomenal book, Extraordinary You, that puts together a grouping of powerful women that are located in this part of the world, Australia, being the heart of it all. Vanessa Talbot, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. So happy to be here with you.
I was really impressed with the book, Extraordinary You, and the subtitle is The Art of Living a Lusciously Spirited, Vibrant Life. And leave it to a woman to use the word lusciously. This is something that when I saw the book, I said, all right, let's see about these women. And each of these women, including yourself, had their own extraordinary story to tell. You are a woman that basically, by all appearances, seemed to have it all. And yet, you ended up putting together, and we're going to talk about your story, you were able to gather together all of these women. What was the common thread among you and these other women that you found made the journey of putting together this publication so significant?
What I did was get together women from both across Australia and the US. I wanted women that had a story to tell about reaching a point in their life where they realized that they needed to do things differently, so that life wasn't going exactly as they wanted. They weren't living extraordinary. I think most of them felt something was missing somewhere along the line, and yet they all reached a point. Whether it was, you know, for some it was tragedy, as you would have read with some of the stories, and others it was a more slower awakening that forced us into a change to challenge ourselves to make more of our life.
You call them the wisdom guys. I really like that term. I think that that's better than crones. I really feel that telling the story is so empowering, because everyone I know benefits from stories, male, female. It doesn't make any difference, because through story, we have an association. And your story, I think, one sentence right in the beginning said it. I was the poster child for having it all. What did you have? And why did you say you were the poster child?
I had it seemingly on the outside to people. I had it really easy. I was had a large business with my husband that we were running. I worked from home. To the people on the outside, I spent more time, you know, being able to play, so we traveled a lot. I had a lot of money to buy a lot of stuff, designer shoes, clothes, spent a lot of money on my horses. You know, just everything that people think that having it all is, you know, fancy cars, house in the country, was what I had.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were living that good life.
Yeah. Yeah.
What happened?
And it seemed that way on the outside. But on the inside, it was actually quite suffocating.
How was it so suffocating for you, Vanessa? Somebody listening to this would say, you got to be kidding. I'm battling to pay my bills. I'm doing all of these things. How could that be suffering if you have money to do whatever you want? You have the clothes. You have the car. You have the horses. What's the deal? Are you in a pity pot? That's what a lot of people would think.
I know, and I got a lot of people saying that to me. Oh, it was so tough, huh? It wasn't the having it all. It came down to the simple fact that the more money that you spend, the more money you have to make. The more money you have to make, the more time you spend making it. So what was happening was that I had just had a baby daughter. As the business was growing, I was ending up spending more and more and more time in my office. I wasn't getting out of that. As my daughter was growing into toddlerhood, she was spending a lot of time. I was hearing a lot of mummy come play, and I was hearing myself saying, not now, not now, I've got to get this finished.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I stopped a lot of my own passions, which is caring for Australian wildlife, for writing. Writing was another one of my passions. I didn't have time to do any of that stuff at all that actually fueled me. I was so busy in the office working a business that was actually my husband's dream, not mine. That was the suffocating a bit about it. Living and doing what someone else had wanted, but not being able to find the time for myself, and especially not being able to find the time to get outside as I used to with my horses. I used to love to be out there. When we first started the business, I only worked 3 afternoons a week. But then, as I said, the more money you make, the more money you spend, and it's just a cycle, and you just have to keep working more and more and more as you're making more. And I also was a bit of a control freak as well, so I wouldn't hand over the reins and get in a lot of other people working for me to actually do the work that I wanted to keep control of. So that was a lesson I had to learn as well.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that you just mentioned is that you wanted to write, and a dream of yours for a long, long time was to be a scriptwriter and win an Academy Award for the best original screenplay. Tell us about that dream and what happened.
What happened? Well, I have a couple of scripts still sitting in my drawer there, and I no doubt will get to it at some time, but at the moment, I think we change. I did the script writing and that. I learnt it in my early 20s. And it was my dream to go on to be a scriptwriter, win an Academy Award. And that was my dream in my 20s. I'm now in my 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I got overtaken with the business that I was running with my husband, and all those things got thrown out of the door. And in that time that I was finding myself, I found my interest starting to go towards the self-help, the inspirational, and the personal development field. And I'm actually really, really, really happy now writing that, and for the moment that's what's feeding me, is working in that field. So I just think that, you know, we have these dreams and that, but sometimes we can change those dreams, and that doesn't matter as long as what we're doing is following the path that feels right for us at this moment, at this time.
I found it a very powerful statement in your story that you felt you were very good at what you did in the business that you and your husband were doing, but you felt that whenever you were trying to work with him relative to this business, it got to the point that he really wasn't listening to you, and the business became even more significant than the relationship, and you reached a point where your physical body ended up being what I'd call the doorstop, that little piece of something that you can't budge. You know, those little rubber doorstops that they can stick under the door, those little wedges? Pneumonia was the wedge, wasn't it?
Yes, I ended up getting very, very sick. I just felt I was run down and tired. And I didn't actually realize that I had the pneumonia until I ended up going to the doctor. I was at Melbourne for some training and some business meetings that I was doing. And everyone was telling me how terrible I was, but I was the sort of person, you know, how terrible I looked. But I was sort of the person that, no, you just keep on going, you keep on going, you keep on going. Didn't occur to me that my body needed to rest, and it needed that wake-up call, you know, for me to say, whoa, what's going on here?
Yes, in fact, you were so adamant. By golly, it was going to be mind over body, and you were going to go ahead. And the doctor said the only way you're going to get back to it is if I pump you up with a massive dose of steroids, and even then, you must rest for 2 days. And that made you think, didn't it?
Yeah. I was stuck there in this city, you know, a fair way from home, and totally at a loss as to why this had happened to me, why I wasn't able to attend these meetings that I had planned for. It felt like a wasted trip having flown all the way down there and not been able to attend what I needed to attend. And there I was stuck in a hotel room. I wasn't able to go back home. I had to stay there. So, yeah, you just spent those whole 2 days thinking, and that was a bit of a catalyst for me, that time stuck in that hotel room when I realized what had been happening to me for the past 5, 6, 7 years.
With that experience, you did something very dramatic that I don't know that many people would have been able to do as efficiently and as quickly as you did. You gave up the directorship in the company and the ownership that you had in the company, and you walked away from the business. Most people would say, how could you do that? How did you do it? What was it that made you wake up to what you really were?
Yeah, it was just something, you know, and I knew that because I walked away from the marriage as well, and I knew if I stayed and fought for things like a portion of the company, financial support from the company, you know, all that stuff, it would go on and on and on and on, because there was a lot at stake. There was a lot of money at stake, and it would have been a long, long, drawn-out thing. And I just realized at that point that the pain of going through the long, drawn-out, which could have gone on for years and years, and you would have been stuck in limbo, my observation of that potential pain was greater than the pain of walking away with nothing and starting again. That's honestly what it came down to.
Now, with this, you determined that, one, you were very competent. You were capable of doing a lot of things. You really felt that you had a lot to share with people. You wanted to write. You wanted to be able to be financially flexible and fluid. And you had this awareness that you could go for whatever you wanted to go for. If we have someone in the audience that's listening to this right now and they feel like maybe they are at an apex in their life, what suggestions would you give to them? Because it takes guts to be willing to step away from everything that has the traditional trappings of security, financial freedom, flexibility, to dare to step into the unknown. And that's exactly what you did. What would you say to someone who is in that positioning right now?
What I would say to them is, you may not necessarily have to be as extreme as I. If you do need to be that extreme, you really need to focus on knowing it's not going to be easy, but the rewards when you get to the end of the light at the tunnel, because the light is there, you just have to keep making your way towards it. It's never easy. That big jump is never, ever going to be easy. But what you have to focus on is what you can see right at the very end, that little tiny light. And the further you go along, the closer that light will come. And at the end of the day, it really is worth it. It really, really is. Some people may not need to go to those extremes or a big extreme like I did. Sometimes you can do it in the littler ways, you know, that are not such a great big jump. Just little moves out of your comfort zone will make a huge, huge difference to your life. But, yeah, I'd say, no, it won't be that easy, but the results will always, always, always be worth it at the end of the day.
One of the things that turned your awareness on was an ad in a newspaper about a course for becoming a life coach. And this was something that you innately felt you were very good at teaching anyway, and to learn how to coach. You signed up for that class, didn't you?
I did. What I used to do was, on my little lunch breaks I used to take an hour off during my day because I worked from home here, and I would collect holistic style magazines and newspapers, and I'd go through all the ads because I was obviously searching. I was searching for something else. I'd be going through all the ads, and all these weird and wonderful things would come to me, like there would be ads for Bowen therapy and being a past life regression facilitator, and every one of them I'd be looking at thinking, yes, I'd like to do that. But I never ever committed to any of them, but I was obviously just in that mode of searching for more than what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. You were.
And I
now,
thought,
you
yeah.
loved being around nature, being around horses, things like this just warmed your heart. They absolutely were totally and completely healing for you. And this is something that you were able to reconnect with. You loved working with animals. And as you went through the coaching, you found that what people perceived you as, which is fascinating to me because you were not this way at all, because you were a wealthy woman, they thought you were snobby, unsociable, rather aloof, when really you were quite shy. And by golly, people, because you were doing something you really loved, saw you entirely differently. They saw you being optimistic, you were uplifting, you had a beautiful smile. Your whole persona changed because of your doing what really was close to your heart.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. I was perceived as being stuck up, never smiling, rarely laughing. I didn't feel that way, of course. You know, I felt like a happy enough person, unfulfilled, but happy enough because, you know, I was at home and I had all that money and all that great stuff. But people saw me in a different light. And then once I started doing the coaching, I was actually really, really shocked when I started doing the coaching and started working with clients and making them happy and changing their lives. I was actually really, really surprised how people started becoming drawn to me when before they never did. So I really do think that was coming down to actually living with a lot of passion in me, just having the energy now that draws others towards me. I get lots and lots of compliments on my smile. Before, I would never, ever have been even noticed for a smile. In fact, I was considered to be stuck up, as you said. So it's amazing, absolutely amazing, the difference that people can perceive you as when you're just emitting different energies. I would say that's what it is.
Well, I think when you're happy within yourself, when there's that joy that's within you, when you're really in your space, people feel that. They know that. They see it. And your eyes, your whole being will reflect it. It's like just using the example of a teacher. When you have a teacher, that whether they're teaching history or mathematics or how to dye your hair 40,000 different colors, it doesn't make any difference, but if they're passionate about it, you'll just see a glow around them. They're joyful. They come in, and it's like, I can hardly wait to get started. The students will feel that way because they're empowering with their own knowledge, and that's what you were doing. Now, one of the things that I thought was so significant is that when your daughter was little, because of the business that you were in at that time, you were always too busy to give her time. But you started making commitments of giving time to your daughter, to your animals, and other things. So tell us how you did that. How did you make that commitment, that contract?
Yeah, it was like a contract. I realized, she was only a little toddler, 2, 3, 4 years old, and I realized that she was getting told no all the time. She was wanting my attention and my time, and I was always pushing her away because I had so much work to do in regards to the company. So what I decided to do after that awakening that I had in Melbourne when I was stuck in the hotel room for the 2 days, when I got home, I decided that that was it, and what I was going to do was make sure that no matter what, I would put aside at least an hour a day, and it was going to be Lucia time, because Lucia is the name of my daughter, and that would be the time when no matter what, whether there was a deadline, it didn't matter, that 1 hour a day was going to be spent doing whatever it was that she wanted, not what I wanted, but she wanted. And that is something that we have kept to this day, 2 years on now. She's now 6. And I tell you what, if you forget, or if you, because Lucia time is from 5 till 6, she knows if you're going to forget or you're doing something else, you well and truly get reminded. So she loves Lucia time. You can't get away with it now with trying to get out of it. It's part of our routine now. And she looks forward to it because it is mummy time for her.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you did this with your horses, and you also did it relative to dieting. And I want you to share that with my listeners, because I thought this was powerful.
I used to, when I first, many, many years ago, I used to be really, really good with my exercise and my eating and all that sort of stuff. And then when I got so busy, it was a matter of not looking after myself, because you're so busy running around after the business and everything else that's involved with that, customers and the finances, and that my body, so to speak, went out the window. And in essence, it was my self-care went out the window. So I stopped doing my runs, I stopped doing my walking. But one thing I used to do was I was quite very, very strict with what I ate. So it would be all salads and lettuce leaves and all that sort of stuff. And I realized that I could look after myself and do self-care without being so extreme. So though I completely lost the self-care and I was trying to keep the weight off by existing on lettuce leaves because I wasn't doing my running and whatnot, when I came to that awakening and I came back, I started eating whatever I wanted to. And now I allow pleasure into my life. So if I want to eat a piece of chocolate, I'm going to have the chocolate. I've been able to make the time, and I've made the time now to look after myself. So I go back doing my run each day. There's nothing I love better than to take my hourly run, because I live on a country lane. So I get to talk to all the birds and the neighboring horses and the cows and the sheep. We all know each other by name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that was something, was allowing food pleasure back into my life when before it hadn't existed because I was so restrictive with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you did something else. You decided, because you loved to write, that you had to have a discipline. And I use the word discipline because all of these little things, it was discipline to give time to your daughter. It is discipline. And commitment, I'll use the DCs of life, discipline and commitment to your animals, to yourself. and also to your writing. And you didn't try to do a whole bunch of something. You did just a tiny bit. And journaling, you were doing like a sentence a day. And you said in journaling, it taught you to look at the now. Not to be so concerned about the future, but looking at the now. That is phenomenal.
Yeah, I call it my joy for the day. I started, rather than using my journal to write long, long pages and pages each day of how, you know, how I was feeling, because obviously when you leave all that and you break up from your husband and leave your marriage and all that, even though you know that you've jumped off the cliff and you're going to follow your own path from now on, it's not always that easy, you know, and I don't stress that in the book, because I only have a few pages to do it, so I couldn't go into the whole story. But obviously, there are some difficult times when you do something, when you step outside your comfort zone. It's never going to be easy. So what I made sure that I did was I started writing my joy for the day. So I would start looking for just one thing. So instead of writing about my feelings and reflecting on how bad or how good I felt, I actually looked for something that made me feel joy for the day. And they were often really, really simple things, like when I would go for a walk, I would hear the white cockatoos. Here in Australia, we have the beautiful big sulfur-crested cockatoos. And they would fly over me when I do my walk. And just one thing, if you're having a really bad day, if you focused on that one thing, and that was the screech of the white cockatoos that I heard that day, that's where I stayed, you know, in that joy mm-hmm. of that, rather than focusing on any of the negatives or anything like that. So that was something that really, really helped, was looking for a joy a day. And now, you know, I don't just look for one. I could write pages and pages of joys in a day now, because now I'm so used to looking for the good things rather than the badder things or the not-so-good things.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Changes your mindset around.
And it's absolutely wonderful. And the descriptions you give, you have a wonderful statement that you make about a young female kangaroo that you had raised from a baby who was on your front lawn with her own baby. She brought her baby to show you. And I've had that experience with raccoons. And it's quite exceptional. And that also she brought her boyfriend. And I thought, my goodness, this is born free with kangaroos, not lions.
Well, I actually live on a country property out here in Australia. So I don't live in town. I do have a country property. And we do have quite a few kangaroos. I did raise a young female kangaroo. And, yes, she is onto her third baby now. And as we've just come past winter, she's actually spent a lot of time, her and her baby, inside with me, because I do let them into the house. They like to come inside and sit in front of the heater and be warm. So she is free to either go with the wild kangaroos or stay home at me. So she has her choices, and a lot of the time she likes to stay home with me, but then she'll often go off with her boyfriends as well. So it is lovely.
Oh, the stories to tell and what you will be writing in the future, just about what you're living. Your ponies are on your front lawn, and, of course, they mess up your flower gardens big time, but you feel like you're one of the richest women on the planet. You say, I don't have closets full of shoes, but I'm rich with living life as I'm choosing to live it. And I think that your story is just so incredible, because you say today you are living the life of your dreams. Now, for those of you listening, it was an 8-year journey from the ending of her marriage to putting together her life as she is experiencing it now, and it's been a continuous journey. And as she said, it's not always been easy. Vanessa Talbot, your story is phenomenal. The stories of the other women that you have linked up with, they're just great also. The book is titled Extraordinary, You, The Art of Living a Lusciously Spirited, Vibrant Life. I want to thank you for being with me. And for those of you listening, go to her website, extraordinaryyou.com. extraordinaryyou.com. Isn't it marvelous that with technology we can become, via the airwaves, acquainted with someone, and via the internet you can connect with this person, find out more about them. It's an exciting time we live in. And Vanessa Talbot, I'm so glad that you were able to share your journey.
Thank you, Donna. And can I just say, it's actually extraordinaryyoubook.com. So extraordinaryyoubook.com. And
thank
that's
you
where
for correcting
me. That.
Yes, thank you very much. Extraordinary.
Thinking of everyone going off to the wrong place.
Absolutely. So I appreciate the correction. Donna Sebo here. Vanessa Talbot has been my guest again. Thank you for being with me. It's been a delight. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
An avatar is coming to the Seattle area. Lovingly known as Yogi Raj, he will be doing these upcoming events. Saturday, August 25th, 6 to 8 p.m., Healing and Enlightenment Workshop. This is free, an interactive event. Donations accepted. Location, Asian Resource Center, 1025 South King Street, Seattle, Washington, 98104. Tuesday, August 28th, Yogi Raj will be teaching and sharing his knowledge in a very special class at the Ascension into Life Foundation. Visit ascensionintolifefoundation.org for more details. Friday, August 31st to Monday, September 3rd, Kundalini Kriya Yoga of Babaji Retreat with Yogi Raj, location Fort Warden, Port Townsend. Each of these events will offer you the opportunity to learn about the ancient Himalayan knowledge for self-mastery called Kundalini Kriya Yoga of Babaji. For more information, visit sidhanath.org. You can register for the event through northwestevents.eventbrite, brite.com, or call for reservations 909-907-9605.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. To see more details, God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. I know we've got a caller on the air, and if you would like to call in yourself, this is the telephone number to call in to, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. All right, let's go to our first caller for the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Joni, and I'm calling in from Tucson.
Welcome, Joni. First thing that I am looking at are three words. Pay attention, no, four, to details. Pay attention to details. There are certain distractions that are interfering with your getting particular things done. And it's going to take a great deal of what I would say mindfulness and discipline to say, this must be done today, period. Everything else is going to have to wait. And the habit of multitasking, good Lord, we women are so guilty of this anyway, we'll think we can get a lot done. No, your focus must be on the details. Take care of what needs to be done now. Do it. That's the information that I'm getting for you this morning. Also, there's going to be a wonderful social activity that you're going to be invited to. And it looks like it's during the month of October. And I want to say you will have an absolutely fabulous time. Just realize you don't have to go to any expensive extreme, and there might be something about a gift or whatever you have to do. Just realize that you can put something together creatively if you're wanting to participate in a gifting to someone. You can do this without having to, you know, really spend a whole bunch of money and or time in doing it. You can be very creative with this. It can be very imaginative and a lot of fun. And I think that you'll really find that it will be appreciated more than what you would ever have expected. So you're going to have time for social life, but in the moment, in the now, take care of the details. Stop getting sidetracked. Do you have a question for me?
I made a big goof, and I at an office that I do some work at, and I'm going back in on Monday, and I believe there's going to be a discussion from a higher-up on addressing the big goof I made. Do you see that outcome being okay and positive?
Well, I think what you need to do is just honor the truth and don't try to cover anything up. And listen to what they have to say. I don't think you're going to lose faith. The fact that there was an error and you don't cover it up and you don't make excuses and you just say, I made a big mistake. This is my fault. What can I do? What would you like for me to do so that I can correct or amend this? And then go ahead and do it. Now, let me give an example.
Okay.
There was a printer that I worked with, and I know it doesn't fit what you do exactly. And I had a major mailing, and I've been with these people for like 20 years. I've worked with these people. Lo and behold, I find that the mailing they did, because I'd done two major mailings back to back, but one went to one area, one went to another. The second mailing they did for me was a duplication of the first. It went out to all the wrong people. So what occurred is when I found this out, because, again, I'd worked with him for so long, this was the last thing in the world that I ever expected to happen, and someone just wasn't paying attention, and they just repeated the stuff, went back. What they did is that they went and redid the mailing at their own cost because it was important that this mailing get out. It was urgent. They printed it at their own cost. They covered it, and it was a chunk of change. It was a big chunk. And they had a challenge with a part of it because they had to go around to different suppliers to find what they needed because they didn't have it. So it was a major cost to them. But they took care of it. So that's what you have to look at. You have to look at the fact that the mistake was made. You want to be able to make a correction. You take responsibility for that mistake. You don't run away from it. Do what you can to make amends and say and think about what you can do to help make the correction. What is it you could do or propose to them that you would do? And just eat whatever the cost might be. Because you want to be able to maintain an honest rapport. People make mistakes. That is a fact of life. But you want to establish credibility with these people. And don't come from a point of fear, even though your insides might be churning, you know, like a special, I don't know what. You're just in turmoil on the inside. What you need to do is take deep breaths before you go in and say, I'm going to work with these people. Worst case scenario, I might lose them as a client. Best case scenario is they're going to say, what do you suggest? And you're going to say, I'm going to have one, two, or three options for them to consider, and then go for it.
Okay.
All right, hon. I've got another caller on the line. I'm going to have to go to this other caller. But I want to thank you for your call, and don't be fearful. Be honest. Be proactive with this.
Okay.
You may end up getting a very special, positive gift from it all. And thank you for your call, Joan. Bye-bye, dear.
Thanks.
This is Donna Siebel. We've got another caller, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me today, 888-627-6008. Let's take our next caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning, Donna.
Hi, dear. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
My name is Kat, and I'm calling from the Virgin Islands.
From the Virgin Islands. Oh, my goodness. I just imagine it is so gorgeous there.
Yes, it's very nice.
One day I hope to visit. Okay, Kat, let's get down to business. Number one, I want you to continue your education on communication. Now, when I'm saying this, I'd love to see you in a class environment involving debates. I would like for you to be in environments that challenge your thinking, that really rip the rug out from underneath you. Now, this is going to sound really strange. I am looking at you engaged in some political activity. You need to learn how to think with an alacrity and clarity that you have when you're quiet, but not necessarily when you're engaged in conversation. Your mind often will lock into a particular box. This is very normal, by the way. This is not unusual. It's what we all do, unless we learn otherwise. I'm wanting you to learn how to be able to communicate effectively and being open and receptive to seeing other people's thinking processes and knowing how to be able to be, one, a very good listener, an astute listener, and two, how to be able to work with words so that you can convey what you're wanting to convey effectively and well, with clarity and honesty. I think you are very skilled with words. This is another dimension to yourself. Also, you're going to have to control your temper, dear. You are a doer, and there is a part of you that I would call the warrior. This is the masculine part of the self. And we all have female and male sides of self. And so your female is strong, and it is made stronger because of this masculine side of the self that is the warrior, that is the fighter. And this needs to be harmonized because it's disjointed. It needs to be harmonized so that it works for you well. And you need to have the emotional side of the self so that it is not going to go into an action mode without thought. Am I making sense to you at all?
Yes, perfect.
Good. Because you have a career where you are going to be very much dedicated to, I will use two words, public service. You will choose to represent information, and you're going to be known for being a person that someone can talk to, but you demand clarity. You're going to be known for no nonsense. I'm seeing you as an elder, being highly respected and loved because of clarity. So you are learning, and I just want to encourage you because of the responsibilities you're going to assume. And you're really going to do a good job. And when I say you're going to be in politics, It's not a particular party. It's not that at all. You're going to be in the arena, the political arena, to get things done. Because you're going to have to mingle with very wealthy people. You're going to have to mingle with very poor people and everything in between. And it's hearing, understanding, having clarity. All of this. And this is not something that you can get out of just a class. It doesn't happen that way. It happens from active participation and continuing your education. You're still in the student mode. So
okay.
You're refining it. Okay. What's your question for me, dear?
Well, in light of all that you've said right now, at the moment I am self-employed. I am
good.
I'm an engineer, and I'm a startup, so I'm working on starting my own contracting company and / engineering company.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like things are picking up very slowly since I went on my own since last year, November of 2011, on 11-11-11 was my last day of work as an employee.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, of course, I need to make myself a lot more billable, and I have quite a bit of financial responsibilities on my back naturally because I went on my own with a big leap of faith. And so
Kat, can you hold that question? I just looked at the clock. We need to take a break. I'll come back, have your question ready, and we'll get right into it. Will you stay with me, please?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, we'll be back shortly. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be talking with Kat in the Virgin Islands in just a moment. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me. Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Oh, and before I go back to Kat, I want to mention I'm going to be giving you information about an upcoming class for those of you in Western Washington on Quantum Mind 4. Robert Newman and I will be presenting a class on November the 3rd, so more details are going to be forthcoming. Okay, Kat, what's your question, dear? I'm sorry I had to cut you off. Give me your question, please.
Okay, so the question is, on the current work mode that I'm going, that I'm working on, is am I in the right work mode that will assist me in meeting all of my financial obligations?
Well, first, you're quite capable of running this company. You're quite capable of building your business. You are in an environment that has a restrictive space to it to a degree. Your credibility, your honesty, and your thoroughness in getting things done are the components that will enable you to enjoy success. You need to think it through very carefully because your business is only going to be able to grow to a certain point because you can't do everything. So you need to think through how you can find those individuals that you can groom and can have confidence in to do some of the work that you should delegate out. My guest that I had on the show earlier made the comment that one of her biggest difficulties is that she tried to control everything, and it cost her big time with her health. So this is one of the lessons that you're going to learn, and not that you should not oversee things, but you need to find those people that can do certain aspects of work that you really don't want to do, and they're going to be far better at getting it done than you are. And even though your team might be two other people, you want those two people to be able to do what needs to be done as it needs to be done and do it well so that you really can depend upon them. And then one of the things that you're going to need to do is pace yourself. Answering your question, yes, your business can be lucrative, and yes, it can make you income. I don't believe that it is going to be the end-all of end-all for you, though. I think that you're going to find that in 5 years, you're going to want to amend the work that you're doing and going into another direction, because you're going to find that you have skills that you haven't paid attention to that are going to come forth in this business that you're building that you would perhaps enjoy developing even more. But what I said to you still holds, though, earlier. You are going to find that your skills in communication, verbal communication, even written communication, but more verbal, are going to have the most wonderful effect in your life. And it's going to enable you to enjoy a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment that you might not be feeling at this time. The business, yes, it can generate income for you. It will flux. It will be very flexible, and that's something you have to be aware of. You have to be aware that you must plan, and whether it's seasonal or it is economic shifts, there are ways of adapting to the changing circumstances, which you're going to learn to do. So I think that you can be extremely successful and developing alliances with other people that you know and respect will serve you well.
Okay.
All right, my dear. Thank you very much for being a part of the show, and pass the information on with the people around you.
I will. Thank you.
You're very welcome. This is Donna Sebo. It is so delightful to share this time with you every day. It really means a lot. I really feel that anytime I can bring to the airwaves people that are going to add to your awareness, your information, I know how much it brings into my life. I like to think that passing it along to you makes you aware of opportunities, shifts, changes, potentialities that maybe you wouldn't have had otherwise. Speaking to potentialities, there's a quote I came across that I really liked that I thought was perfect for today. This is the beginning of a new day. You have been given this day to use it as you will. You can waste it or you can use it for good. What you do today is important because you are exchanging a day of your life for it. Those are powerful words. If you can be mindful, like my guest became mindful, of taking each day, and I'm not saying you don't plan and you don't do, but if you take the now and say, all right, this is where I am right now, this is what I need to do right now, just like she made choices about her animals and her taking care of herself physically and taking care of her daughter, all of these things, she made a disciplined, committed, conscious choice. It's important. Because this is the day you've got. This is the day where you want to be able, when you go to bed at night, smile and say, well, maybe I didn't get it all done, but oh boy, what blessings I experienced. What a joy this day has been. And lots of times that joy does come from small things. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul, not somebody else, you. Join me, won't you, next week? We're having a holiday weekend here, but we're going to be right here at BBS, bright and sassy, sharing with you more good things. This is Donna Tsebo. Join me then. I look forward to sharing the time with you again. Have a fabulous holiday weekend. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Tsebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Tsebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.